If you have your Bible or Testament with you, would you turn with me to the second chapter of 1 Peter? I want to speak from verse 12, the last phrase of that verse. The day of visitation. The day of visitation. There is no doubt about it that God visits this world in divine intervention. And of course, we could say that God has visited us with personal intervention. Because every believer in this meeting is a monument to the fact that God is working upon this earth by the power of His eternal Spirit. But in the Bible, there are days of visitation which are indeed visitations of judgment when God judges the people. And that's a terrible time. When God arises with His right arm and smites His enemies and brings to naught the counsel of evil man, pours forth the vials of His judgment and His fury, and the earth trembles under the power and majesty of our God in judgment. We read in the Bible, judgment is a strange work. But we're glad that God not only visits man and woman in judgment, but praise God, He visits them in mercy. And what this world needs, and what this province needs, and what this church needs, is a day of visitation of God's mighty mercy and superabounding grace. And from our hearts we would say, let it come, O Lord, we pray Thee. Let the showers of blessing fall. We are waiting and expecting. Lord, revive the hearts of all. We need a visitation of grace. We need a visitation of refreshing showers. We need a visitation of revival. We need a visitation of power and of growth and of salvation among the people in this dark crisis day in which we live. Now I want to turn you to some scriptures which should bring encouragement and should bring faith to our hearts concerning a visitation of God at this time. Oh, that this might become the day of God's visitation in Ulster. Oh, that through this darkness, a great shaft of heavenly light might break through. And out of the confusion and the apostasy and the treachery, Lord might give us a revival that we've been praying for and looking for and hoping for. And praise God, He's able to do it. And I think there's a little faith within our hearts that's saying, praise God, He's going to do it. Now, the first one is found over in the book of Genesis, chapter 50. It's a most interesting one, and it deals with Joseph. He was a wonderful character, Joseph. Misunderstood by his brethren. Any man of God worth anything will be misunderstood by his brethren. The object of jealousy. And when God takes up a man and separates a man to do the work of God, that man will know the barbed arrows of jealousy fired at him. And Joseph knew all that. And he's come now to the end. Genesis 50 and verse 24. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you.
Mark that one. Visit you.
God will surely visit you. Could I say to you today, my brother and sister, in this hour of Ulster's crisis, God will surely visit us.
He isn't dead.
Our God lives. His touch has still its ancient power. No word from him can fruitless fall. God will surely visit you. And God, he said, will bring you out of this land unto the land which he sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. And God took an oath of the children of Israel, saying, look at it again, God will surely visit you, and ye shall carry up my bones from him. So Joseph died being 110 years old, and they embalmed him, and he was put in a coffin in Egypt. You can write over that the certainty of divine visitation. The certainty of divine visitation. There is no doubt about it. God will visit his people. I don't care what the opposition is, God will visit his people. There are three things that I want you to notice in this certainty of divine visitation. First of all, there is the implications of Joseph's death. He said, I'm dying in Egypt. They're going to do with me after the manner of the Egyptians. They're going to embalm me and put me in a coffin. But I'm not going to finish in that coffin. Praise God, we're not going to finish in the coffin in Egypt. And you know, they have prepared the coffin. My, there was an old apostate preaching on the radio this morning. Not very often I hear the BBC religious service. Not that it would do you any good anyway. But there was a fellow out there in Ballyclare, and he was preaching this morning. He was busy putting the coffin on Protestants. And he was telling God that there's more ways to God than the way through Jesus Christ as known by the Protestants. A whole lot of ways to God. Well, what I want to say is this, they prepared the coffin, the apostates, and they're going to put us in. I don't know whether they'll trouble to embalm us or not, but let me tell you that Ulster and Ulster Protestantism and Ulster's Bible believers, their end is not the coffin. Hallelujah. No, that's not the end. Joseph said, I die. But, look at it. I die and God will surely visit me. The implications of his death. The second thing, there is the consolation of his bones. You see, as the children of Israel looked at those bones for 400 years almost, those bones had a message. You know what the message of the bones were? That we are not always going to be in Egypt. One day we're going to take the bones and carry them up into the land of promise. This is the certainty of divine visitation. And when Moses went out of Egypt, just read the book of Exodus and then have a look at the last chapter of the book of Joshua, and you'll find that they took the bones of Joseph and they buried them afresh in the land flowing with milk and honey. So every time they saw those bones, it reminded them of the certainty of divine visitation. And then you will notice the anticipation of divine visitation. All Joseph in his deathbed said, carry up my bones from him. He didn't want even his bones to remain in Egypt. He didn't want his dust to be in apostasy. Praise God, we don't want even the clipping of our fingernails in the apostasy by the grace of the Lord. We want to be completely out. You know, it said that they left not a hoof behind them when they went out of Egypt. And when we come out to serve the Lord, it's a clean break. Hallelujah for divine visitation.
It's certain. My dear brother encouragers, you say, well, I've been discouraged, so have I. When I think of this province and the things that are happening about, I have sat down and I have literally bowed my head and groaned to think of how far this province has gone and the terrible things that are happening and the connivance of ecumenists and politicians and Romanists to destroy us. And yet, my friend, God's going to visit us. Praise God. It's not over yet. God's going to visit us. God will surely. Would you get your hand of faith and would you put it round that word surely today and hold on to it for the Lord's sake and for your own sake and for your family's sake and for Ulster's sake. God will surely visit us. Oh, that we could get this into our heart. That this might spur us up to pray and to labor and to work. And praise God to anticipate a great deliverance. The second one I want to turn you to is over in the Psalms. We haven't time to fully expound these this morning. But I'm leaving them for you for your future meditation. Psalm 80 and verse 14. Return, we beseech thee, O God of hosts. Look down from heaven and behold and visit, mark it, and visit this valley. Psalm 80 gives a history of Israel. It talks about Israel as a vine that was brought out of Egypt. Look at verse 8. Thou hast brought a vine out of Egypt. Thou hast cast out the heathen and planted. And then the previous verses tell of the sad state. And you know, the sad state of Israel is just like the state of the church. Look at verse 12. Why hast thou broken down her hedges? The hedges of the church are broken down today. And evil men have entered in, destroying the testimony and the purity and the vitality and virility of the church. How tragic it is. The hedges are down. And then we read that the wild beasts, the boar out of the wood doth waste it, and the wild beast of the field doth devour it. And the beasts of apostasy are in the very camp of the church of God today. And what does the psalmist say? We have here the cry for immediate visitation. Right over it, the cry for immediate visitation. The first one is the certainty of divine visitation. Here we have the cry for immediate visitation. Return, O God of hosts. We beseech thee, look down from heaven and behold and visit the vine. Praise God, we need to cry to him for immediate visitation this morning. Not for tomorrow, but for now. Oh, that the fire and conflagration of revival would be set a burning in all our hearts this morning. Yes. Cry to the Lord. He's the only one can help us. He's the only one can solve the insoluble problems. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Got any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible. He can do just what no other can do. Hallelujah, we can call to him. Let this whole congregation start calling on the Lord and say, visit thy vine. The hedges are broken. The wild beasts have come in amongst us. Our heritage is laid waste. But oh God, visit us in Jesus' name. And praise God, he'll answer prayer. He will visit us. There is, thank God, even today, the sound of abundance of rain. the sound of abundant relief. May the Lord let it come upon our souls. The cry for immediate visitation. Have you taken up the cry, my brother, my sister? In that quiet place when you meet God, do you raise your cry to heaven? At the family altar, do you lead your family in crying to God? In the public prayer meeting, is this the burden of your heart? Oh, that God would give us this burden and increase it until from our lips there shall come that cry, how long, O Lord, until thou dost visit the vine? Make up the head. God wondered that there was none to stand in the gap and make up the head. God's looking to his people this morning to do something. The salvation of Ulster is in the hands of the people of God. Let us not feel our God in this day. The cry for immediate visitation. And then we have Job chapter 10 and verse 12. Poor old Job, he had a rough time. Now if you ever think you're having a hard time, you read Job and you'll find out that your life is clover compared to Job's. And in Job 10 and 12, he says this, he says, thou hast granted me life and favor, and thy visitation hath preserved my spirit. There's the consolation of personal visitation. The consolation of personal visitation. When God comes to us. Last night when I got to bed, I had a little time of prayer. You say, Mr. Paisley, do you pray in bed? Certainly I pray in bed. And it's scriptural to pray in bed. The psalmist said he communed upon his bed. It's a very scriptural thing, and I commune with the Lord every night when I go to bed. And I was having a little time of prayer, and the Lord came very real and visited my heart afresh. That's just that little personal visitation. When the Lord draws near. If you're not a spiritual person, you know nothing about it. But you people that know what it is to walk with God, you'll know what I'm talking about. And God just draws near and puts the nail-pierced hand afresh upon you and says to you, my son, cheer up. My hand's on the helm. I made the clouds and I can control them. I made the sea and I can calm it. My hand hasn't left off. You're all right. Just trust me, and I'm just going to trust the Lord. And old Job was in a bad state. Yeah. A worse state than I've ever been in. I'd never want to be like old Job. He was in a bad way. He had lost everything. He lost his family. He lost his wealth. He lost the affection of his wife. And he lost his health. There was one thing he didn't lose. He didn't lose the assurance of salvation. He could say, I know my money's gone. And I know my family's gone. And I know my wife no longer loves me. And I know my health is gone. But I know whom I have believed. He hadn't lost his faith. And my dear brother, when the storm clouds are over you, and the sun's not shining, and your friends have let you down, and the world is black with tempest, Jesus is still with you. You can have a personal visitation of the Lord. He can visit you now in that seat. Thank God he can lift the burdens. He's the great burden lifter. Thank God he can solace the heart. He's the one can cheer. None can help my soul like Jesus. You can have a personal visitation. And the old Job in the trouble, this is what he said. Isn't this wonderful? He said, thy visitation hath preserved me. But I would have perished and gone down under it. Praise God, I rose up above it. That's what the Lord does. He lifts you up. See that big wave that the devil's hurling at you, and you think you're going to perish, the Lord's going to put you right up over. And never, my friend, worry about the things of tomorrow. They'll take care of themselves. That's what the Bible says. Take not a thought for tomorrow,
Tomorrow will take care of itself.
You just trust God moment by moment. And moment by moment I'm kept in His love. Moment by moment I've life from above. Looking to Jesus till glory does shine. Moment by moment, O Lord, I am thine. This is the way to go.
This is the consolation of personal visiting. And the last one that I have this morning is over in Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 29 and verse 6. Isaiah 29 and verse 6. And this is the visitation of God upon His enemies. Thou shalt be visited of the Lord of hosts with thunder and with earthquake and great noise and storm and tempest and the flame of devouring fire. Here we have, my friend, the visitation of God on the enemies in the city. If you look at the previous verses, you will find that God is taking a toll on the enemies in the city. And here is God in judgment. This is the consternation of mighty visitation and judgment. The Lord of hosts, the Eternal of the armies of heaven. You know what the 46th Psalm says? It says the Lord of hosts is with us. God of the armies of heaven. We have no human armies to protect us, but praise God, God's army is around us. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them and delivereth them. That's better than all the detectives of the world when the angel of the Lord is. When that angelic messenger is round about us, protecting us. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. The Lord of hosts is going to rise up. I believe there's going to be a day of mighty visitation in this country. I believe we're going to hear the thunder. My, what a day when we hear the thunders of our God. We've heard the thunders of popery and apostasy and the thunders of an evil press and the conspiracy of evil men, but praise God, God's going to thunder upon them. My, that day's coming and there's going to be an earthquake. Do you remember when they put Paul and Silas into prison, there was an earthquake? Of course, you wouldn't wonder at that when two preachers tried to sing a duet. Anything could happen. And that's what happened. There was an earthquake. Yeah. And God's going to give us an earthquake and a shaking in the city. Men are going to be shaken. In fact, men are shaking already. I'm glad the apostates are shaken. Hearing about an apostate the other day, and he was talking to a friend of mine, and he said, you know, everybody's leaving my church. Lord. He says, we're losing the people. And he says, they're going to this Ulster Hall. Amen. May they keep coming. We're losing them. Friend, I want to see every apostate church vacated in this day. And God can do it. My, there'll be an earthquake. There'll be a shake. And people that never thought about these things, they're beginning to think today. I've had man and woman with me, and 3 months ago they would have cursed me. And today they've come and said, we judged you wrong, your voice was right. I want to tell you there's a shaking going on in this city. May God shake it to its foundations and tumble these edifices of ecclesiastical apostasy. Yes, sir, an earthquake, something more, and a great noise, hallelujah. God works, there'll be a noise. So don't be afraid. I had a dear lady who used to come to our church. She doesn't come anymore. And she didn't like the prayer meeting. She said, Mr. Paisley, your prayer meeting is too noisy. Could you not get the people to be silent in prayer?
And I said, my dear lady, it takes me all the time to get them to pray. And when they start praying, do you think I'm going to stop them? I'm going to be stupid enough to stop them. Says, I don't care whether they're heard at the Albert Bridge or the City Hall. They can keep praying. There'll be a noise when God works. People will be disturbed, you know, when God works. There'll be the noise of opposition and the noise of blessing. A great noise. And there's a storm. And there's nothing peaceable about this. Some people think that when God works, there should be perfect calm. Don't you believe it? When God's rising in judgment, friend, there'll be a storm. And there's a bit of a storm blowing, and may it blow on. And may the Lord give us a tempest of revival in the land. And the tempest, and I love this, the flame of the devouring fire. Devouring fire. Send the fire. 'Tis fire we need. For fire we plead. Send the fire. The fire will meet our every need. Send the fire for grace to ever do the right. For power to conquer in the fight. For strength to walk this world in white. Lord, send a fire. The day of visitation. Let's have it today. Let's put our hearts in the altar. Let's say, Lord, here we are. We're useless. We're helpless. We're hopeless. We're a bunch of nobodies. But oh, God, take us. Bless us. Use us. I was greatly encouraged this week in meditating upon what the Lord said to Moses at the bush. You remember he said to Moses, what is that in thine hand? And he said, a rod. And the Lord said, I'll take that rod, and with you I'll make it the means of Israel's deliverance. You know, that's what God's saying to you and me. What's in your hand? And you say, Lord, I've just a small talent. It's not very much. Moses said, I have nothing but just a rod. The rod that I minded the sheep with and helped them to follow the path through the weary wilderness. It's not very much. It's the badge of the pastoral office as a shepherd. But he says, I'll take it. What's in your hand this morning, my brother, my sister? Something that you think is very little. God can take that very little thing and he can use it to deliver his people. And that's what God's saying to me this morning. What's in your hand, preacher? What's in your hand, church member? And if you give what's in your hand, the little talents, the little money, the little privileges that you have, and put them on the altar, God will make them a means of a mighty deliverance. Do you remember when he came to the Red Sea, the Lord said, that rod will divide the sea. And it divided the sea. Do you remember when he came to the dry wilderness and they needed water? He said, touch the rock with the rod, and water came out of the rock. And all along the way, that rock was used by God to bring deliverance. What's in your hand, believer, this morning? Would you give it to God for a day of visitation? God grant we'll do it for Jesus' sake.